This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
What is... Dax, are you...
tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker? On all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all. So we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge! Trucks up 3.9%!
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you. From daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Welcome back, folks. A new study reveals a growing mental health crisis in Louisiana with increasing rates of depression, anxiety, suicidal thoughts among working age adults. The author of this study, Dr. Anita Raj, executive director, Newcomb Institute of Tulane University, the Nancy Reeves Drew Endowed Chair, Professor Tulane of School of Public Health and Tropical Medicine, joins us. Doc, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Neil. Thanks for inviting me.
Doc, we talk about this a lot, and I've always said that, you know, unfortunately, government funding is incredibly important in dealing with this issue. And whenever there's the landscape or notion of cutback management, one of the first things to get cut that creates a whole lot of instability is mental health. And sometimes it seems as though we never recover. I just wanted to start out there as it relates to your thoughts there, and then let's get into what the study has actually revealed.
I really appreciate you bringing attention to that. I completely agree with you. I think that it's really important to make sure that there's parity in healthcare access for mental health. We have a real understanding that nationally it costs about $300 billion a year, the cost of mental health to our society in terms of lost productivity, loss of life. And so it's something that we need to be prioritizing more.
So as we think about that challenge, this study, not unlike, I guess, a lot of others, really points out a real challenge that we have in society today. And it seems as though this study reveals that this number is not getting better. It's getting worse.
So this is pretty consistent with what we've been seeing nationally. We've been seeing mental health concerns increasing, depression, anxiety, suicidality, and that's been going on at a national level. You know, we definitely understood why these things went up after COVID. Anytime there's some sort of crisis, we would anticipate this sort of thing. But the fact that it continues to be, if not increasing, at least maintaining itself at a higher level than what we've seen previously, is a deep concern because we've come out of the pandemic and we're still seeing these high levels of depression, anxiety, binge alcohol use, illicit drug use, and it is a little higher in Louisiana than what we see nationally.
1 in 9 Louisiana adults live with severe depression, anxiety, and thoughts of suicide. Is that one of the highest rates in the country?
Yeah, I'm sorry to say that it is. It is among, you know, it's higher here, and I think we really need to be doing some hard, taking a hard look at what we're doing in the state to help alleviate the depression, anxiety, and suicidality we see, but also to explain why is it higher here.
Yeah, this is the what, right? Not the why.
Yeah, this is the, this is, yes.
So this is the outcome. I guess it's always, it's kind of like Mercury trying to put our finger on it to figure out what the why is. It comes in, I guess, in a bunch of different varieties, right?
That's absolutely right. I think there's a few things that we can know from these data because we do know a little bit about the WHO as well. We know that it's about 1 in 9 people who are affected by these issues at the state level. But when you look at the 18 to 29-year-olds, it's it gets higher. It's you know, we start to see about 1 in 6 people have contemplated suicidality in the past year. So we know it's a younger population. We also know that in nationally, what we see is that men are actually a little bit less likely to consider suicidality, but here in Louisiana, they're a little more likely. And that's especially true for the 29 to 44-year-old population. So that we're talking about people who are younger. These are the people who are starting to build their families, create their work lives. And so we know that there's something happening for this age group where we're not meeting the needs.
Could there be a connection between the economic difficulties in this state that we've experienced for a long time for young folks who decide to stay here and the challenges that they face in trying to be able to support themselves?
Yeah, so what I can tell you is that we do see, and this isn't in this brief, but it's been through other analyses we've done with this data from Louisiana. I can tell you that the history of incarceration, what we call economic distress, a recent eviction or a situation of economic deprivation in terms of not having enough money for food or basic needs to be met, those are very, very strong risk factors for suicidality and for depression and anxiety.
When we talk about, you know, these what's, I mean, what is your greatest fear as you look forward in the landscape that we face in 2025, 26, 27, what are you thinking about or what keeps you up at night relative to what this study?
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
This President's Day, upgrade the look of your home without breaking your budget. Save up to 40% site-wide on brand new window treatments now at Blinds.com. Blinds.com, the number one online retailer of custom window treatments, is the better way to give your home the presidential treatment. Blinds.com makes it easy with free virtual consultations on your schedule and samples delivered directly to your door, fast and free. Choose from trending woven wood shades or upgrade to motorized. Blinds.com has everything and more, all with upfront pricing and no hidden fees. Need help with installation? Blinds.com can handle it for you. Or DIY with expert guidance from our design pros. With over 25 million windows covered and our 100% satisfaction guarantee, you can count on Blinds.com to deliver results you'll love. Shop Blinds.com's President's Day Mega Sale Last Chance right now and save up to 40% site-wide, plus a free professional measure. Up to 40% off site-wide at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
reveals?
Wow, that's a tough question, but I guess I actually do have an answer. When I look at the very high prevalence, so across issues, whether you're talking about the binge alcohol use, the illicit drug use, the depression, anxiety, or the suicidality, the highest prevalence is in the 18 to 29-year-olds. And I don't think people are just turning 18 and this is turning on. I think we aren't meeting needs for young population and supporting their transitions into adulthood. And this is something that I'm seeing across the board with, you know, across income levels, but certainly we see this for the people who have had lower access or use of the education system or coming from less economically secure circumstances. But I do think that some of these effects of COVID are longstanding. We've got kids who are destabilized at very important stages of developmental transition. And I think that's really continuing to affect a lot of our young population. And I think we haven't really tackled how some of these long-term effects, you know, are continuing to manifest themselves. I also think that, you know, we can see in our state relative to other states that issues of truancy, which we would have anticipated, of course, during COVID, we still haven't gotten back to where we should be. And I want to just highlight some of the worries I have about, you know, for young men in our state and in our country. We're seeing declining rates of, you know, transition into higher education, where we're continuing to see women advance in higher ed. We're losing men going into college. Now, I'm not saying college is right for everybody, but it's a marker potentially of thinking about how you can elevate your life and circumstances. So whether that's about college, the kind of vocational training you may want to participate in, the kind of job opportunity you want to pursue, the internships you want to pursue, we're just not seeing the same levels of engagement for young men as we are with young women and for boys in the way that we are with girls. And that's something I think that keeps me up at night. That keeps me up at night because I don't understand what's happening there.
Yeah, we keep seeing that stat, and we seem to talk around it a lot. I wanted to focus on the familial unit and mm-hmm. something that I've observed and your reaction to it. I think a good, sound familial unit for kids that are making that transition from adolescence to adulthood, from high school to college, to become more independent, is huge. When you have that stability of a good, sound foundation at home, it helps, right? You have a sounding board, you're able to do certain things. The interesting thing about COVID for me is that I saw a lot of families that had that really struggled in dealing with the complications of COVID, whether there was a loss of a job or otherwise within that unit, no place to really go and get yourself employed. And it seems to me that is carried forward a little bit. Although we recovered here in Louisiana, they say faster than most states in the aftermath mm-hmm. of COVID. But our recovery level isn't really nearly as strong economically as other states. And we're still, you know, challenged with not having huge amounts of opportunity. Your thoughts?
I very much agree with that. I think there's a few issues with family that I think are really important to consider. So we have very high domestic violence rates. You were kind enough to invite me to the show previously, and we talked a little bit about that. And with domestic violence, one of the things I was very struck by in terms of looking at our data from Louisiana, we had a comparison with California. We're going to do this study again, and we're going to be looking at Mississippi and Texas as well to sort of see how our state positions across these four states. And one of the things I was very struck by is the level of lethality, potentially lethal forms of domestic violence. So it's pretty severe. We know about 22% of adults, you know, witnessed the violence against their mothers. So we know that part of what makes families secure is certainly economic security, but also a freedom from that kind of violence or conflict in the household. Another issue that we've seen a lot of is that childcare costs are incredibly expensive, and that's also putting a lot of strain on families. So reliable, affordable childcare is something that really affects people's economic security in our state, and it's something I think we continue to struggle with. And then just with regard to family, I completely agree with you. I mean, I personally feel like, you know, I was just, it's lottery sometimes, right? Or often it's lottery. I got lucky with my family. Got super lucky. And I would say that a lot of what I've got today is because I just came from a lot of stability. Not everybody has that. So how do we support and reinforce strengths and resilience for those kids who just didn't get that lottery ticket?
I just delivered a monologue about governance, and I think it holds true in the educational sphere. And when the governance of education lets us down, it makes the challenges for an already challenged familial unit even greater. It has this exponential impact on them. And there's no assistance there. Not that they are going to raise the kids, but it provides a level of stability and a path or an avenue to be in a better position to achieve success. And I don't, oftentimes, I'm not sure our educational leaders get it sometimes, especially in lower ed, because we're doing crazy things. I mean, truancy. If we have a big challenge with truancy, we should be addressing truancy. We should have truancy programs. We should have follow-up. We should find out where these kids are and make sure that we get them into school.
I think that's a really great point. I also want to highlight something you had said with how young. So early childhood education really matters. We know that. It's really good for achieving developmental milestones. And I think we have to be really careful as we talk about the truancy issues, not to to do it in a way that makes people hide because, oh, I'm a bad parent, I'm a bad kid. I think we really have to start working on the truancy issues in ways to say, how can we facilitate and support you getting your child to school on time? How can we help ensure that your child is having a positive experience and a safe experience at school? How can the educational system be rewarding? One of the things I was struck by, and I lived in New Orleans a long time ago, but I came back a couple of years ago. And, you know, I know that charter schools, and this isn't a debate about the charter school, non-charter school situation, but one of the things I have noticed is that when you lose a neighborhood school, you've got kids who are traveling farther sometimes, and that's going to make some difficulties. So how, if this is what the school system is, how do we help support families get there? I travel around 3 o'clock, and we are all, it's a nightmare. Everybody's out there at the same time, and I'm not being able to get to my appointment. So being able to get your child to school in the morning, I suspect, can be very difficult for people who have to potentially get to their workplace on time, and your child's not up, and I had every advantage, I think, and sometimes getting my eighth grader to school on time, he missed his science class. He was late for, not he missed it, but he was late for science class that eighth grade year very frequently, and I remember that. So I think it's about, you know, remembering that people are often trying to do the best they can. How do we give them the supports they need to really get their child into the space and into the education system and into the programs that really can strengthen not only the mental health of our kids, but really what is going to be our adult working population, our mothers, you know, 18 to 29, that's oftentimes the age that women are having a first child. We know that this is the depression during the prenatal period can and postpartum period really contribute to the maternal mortality issues that we see, and it's just a severe issue for our state. So this is something that I think we need to invest in with young people and with young adult populations.
Doc, I'll tell you what keeps me up at night. If we have significant changes in Medicaid, we are in trouble in this state. And
thank you. You
know, we embraced Medicaid expansion. I was one of the few Republicans that supported it. I served on a hospital board. I knew the importance of Medicaid financing in the state of Louisiana as it relates to healthcare delivery. And if it is a if there are cuts that are done kind of at this overnight mentality, short term, and not graduated over a lengthy period of time, we will not be able to react. And the next survey you do, I suggest, is going to reveal the underbelly of a lot of different things, and the numbers are going to be far greater. That's what keeps me up at night. I don't know that we are prepared for this. We don't talk about it enough. It is a possibility. I don't know that it's a likelihood, but it's something that we should be focused on.
Neil, thank you so much for bringing this up. I want to highlight two pieces of data that we know. We know that our maternal mortality rates declined when, you know, and our maternal morbidities declined when we saw when Medicaid expansion came, because we had greater access for women during the prenatal period and the postpartum period to help support them and their infants. So there's evidence to show the importance of Medicaid expansion. And at the same time, we need to make sure that our Medicaid reimbursement for mental health services needs to be on par. I learned recently from a legislator, I did not know this, that we actually pay less than what they pay in Mississippi for Medicaid reimbursement for mental health providers.
Because the state runs it, they make the rules, and you know they set the priorities, and obviously that's always going to be a challenge, and there's going to be the differences there as well. Thank you so much for joining us. Appreciate your time, your insight. Have a great week. Have a great Mardi Gras.
Thanks. Happy Mardi Gras, and always a pleasure. Thank you for inviting me.
Thank you so much, Dr. Anita Rogers, Executive Director, Newcomb Institute of Tulane University, Nancy Reeves Drew, Endowed Chair, Professor, Tulane School of Public Health and Tropical Medicine. We will be right back, folks. 504-260-1870 on the Oakland Heart Jewelers Talk and Text Line. Stay with us.
Ah, can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework. Head to Safeway this week for these amazing digital deals for members. Signature Farms chicken, split breasts, drumsticks, or thighs, buy one, get one free of equal or lesser value when you buy two. Or a wheat variety bread, 24-ounce selected varieties, buy one, get one for free of equal or lesser value when you buy two. And Progresso soup, 18 to 19-ounce selected varieties, buy two, get three free of equal or lesser value when you buy five. Visit Safeway.com for more details. See you in the aisles.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
What's up, NBA fans? It's Danny Green here. For those who want an inside look at the league through the eyes of a three-time champion, check out my podcast, Inside the Green Room. New episodes drop every week. Be sure to subscribe to Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.